Play here.
Now it's time to talk Celtics.
Throw step blocked by Jaylen Brown.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
Over the
show.
Shoulder pass for Al Horford for the two-hand slam.
With Gasper and Murray on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Marcus turns the corner, drives, kicks out to the left wing, wide open, Jaylen Brown, three, swish.
Good pass, good release, good splash. Marcus the setup guy.
Smart finds a back door, open shot in the corner for Al Horford. His three is good.
Welcome back, Al.
Tatum for a right side three, and the Celtics salvage a possession.
Well, salvage it, but also got Tatum a look in. Great play by Marcus.
18-13. Jaylen Brown left side against Vincent. Going to try a contested three. Got it. Telling you, Jaylen's got that look. Jaylen's left-hand dribble around Deadman at the free throw line. Throws out to the wing. Waiting. Open. Pritchard. Three. Money. That was a dart. Celtics have the lead. Mark going to try a right side three late in the shot clock. Hits it. Grant Williams right side three. Got it. These are good looks here. Miami's not getting nearly close enough defensively.
Connectivity.
Horford pounds it in the paint. Throws a bounce pass to the left corner. Grant Williams knocks down a three. And the Celtics are rolling right now off South Beach.
And moving and grooving right now. Everybody's connected again. Connectivity.
17 straight for the Celtics.
Yeah, a lot of threes. It's a 3-and-D league, don't you know? Well, it is. I mean, that term exists for a reason. The Celtics blow out the Miami Heat in Game 2, 127-102. Marcus Smart returns, scored 17 points in 17 minutes. And, they'd be holding on to a 20-point lead in that second half that they had built in the second quarter. Like, it was, they killed them. They killed them. And a lot of it had to do with it was just, you know, raining threes like it has. During this postseason for the Celtics, and it's really that it's them and very aggressive defense. And I just think coming out of that game, Chris, we talked about it earlier. It's pretty simple. I just think, and I felt this way during the first half of Game One. They're just a better team. They're a better, deeper team than Miami, and they've shot better. But maybe that changes for Game Three. So again, in case you missed it in the update, Heat coach Eric Spoelstra said Kyle Lowry. He's the intention to play tonight. He's going to warm up ahead of tonight's game, set to return after missing the last four games, and barring any setback with that hamstring during warm-ups, it looks like he will return to the starting lineup for the Heat tonight, so their shooting would get better. If he's close to 100%, that's a big, big, big thing for the Miami Heat tonight.
Yeah, you know, look, he's tried to give it a go a couple of times here in these playoffs, and he hasn't looked like himself. He hasn't played well, and they've gotten a solid performance, I think, throughout the playoffs from Gabe Vincent, but Kyle Lowry, if he's even 80%, is a huge upgrade. And he's just another guy who has been there before. He obviously won an NBA title with Kawhi Leonard, with the Toronto Raptors. He's a guy who's always played well against the Celtics. His career average of 17 points per game against the Celtics is his highest average against any team during the course of his career. Also, you go back to that playoff series in the bubble that went seven games between the Raptors and the Celtics won that one. He averaged 20.7 points per game in that series, and he had two 30-point games. So if it's a healthy Kyle Lowry, it could be a series changer. I'm just not convinced you're getting a healthy Kyle Lowry. I think you're getting Kyle Lowry.
Well, so if you're getting Kyle Lowry that played in that Sixers series, he was really a non-factor there, so it's not going to be that big of a thing. But if you do get healthy Kyle Lowry, that's potentially problematic. Tough SOB. I mean, I give him credit for trying to warm up and get out there and play in this thing anyway. He is a gamer.
Oh, 100%. I mean, he is a gamer. He always plays well against the Celtics, you know, when he's healthy. He has some tendencies that are almost, you know, smart-like. He will draw a charge. He will make the right play, make the extra pass. He can just be a pest. You know, he can just be a pest. He's sort of, to me, you know, a cross between Drew Holiday and Marcus Smart. And he just is like, you know, he doesn't have that build, obviously. Both those guys are bigger than him. But just in terms of mentality, the way he approaches the game, his ability to make shots, his ability to not shy away from the moment, I think that if he is able to give Miami, again, 75-80% of what is normal Kyle Lowry, that's big for them, and it just deepens their rotation.
You guys want to hear Lowry playoff stats?
I was going to say, back from South Beach, joining us here, producing the show, our own Brian Robb, B-Robb, covers the Celtics for Mass Live. Give us some stats on Kyle Lowry in the postseason.
Five games, 29% from the field, 20% from three-point range, 6 points per game.
Oh, so he's been ass.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't great. he played the first three games of that Atlanta series, and he wasn't, like, amazing. You know, it was a 4-for-8, a 2-for-8, a 2-for-7. But he was horrible when he came back in the Philly series. He shot 3-for-14 in that series, and he had 6 points in two games. So I think that kind of skews his numbers a little bit. I think even if they get Atlanta series Kyle Lowry, which, again, in those games, he was not great. He was 10 points, 9 points, 6 points. But if you get closer to the 10-9-point guy that played the first two games of that, that still is just another guy out there that you at least have to account for if you're the Celtics. And to me, that could make a difference. I'm not saying it changes the series or it's a tipping point, but even if he's just that, and I'd say Atlanta Kyle Lowry was probably about 60%. You know, I think Philadelphia Kyle Lowry was about 40%. So, you know, which one are you getting here? If you're getting Philly Kyle Lowry, then I think B-Rob's right. You look at those numbers, it's not really going to make a difference.
Yeah, so B-Rob, if that's what he is, it's going to be, you know, Sixers series Kyle Lowry. Is Eric Spoelstra maybe overthinking this? He should stick with Gabe Vincent as the starter and just have Lowry play limited minutes off the bench?
Yeah, I would certainly do that. You'd want Lowry just as a decoy in that situation if it's like Philly. But to be honest, it's for me, him coming back in this game kind of just shows the – it's not a – you know, a red alert for the Heat, but it shows them, like, after what happened in game 2, they know. Like,
yes.
They need Lowry now or it's over.
I agree. You nailed it. B-Rob, I think you're right. I think this is, and I'll say it, I think this is a desperation move for the Heat. I think they know that it's all hands on deck for them to be able to contend with the Celtics and to, you know, get out of here one of these two games with a win. I think they look at that game and they look at the two first halves the Celtics have played. You give up 62 points if you're Miami, you give up 70 points, and you look at it and you say, okay, our defense is good and we can play better defense, but if these guys are making shots, it's the old Doc Rivers, it's a make-miss league. They have a greater capability than we do to make. They have more guys than we do who can make. We need another guy out here who can be a factor.
Brian, why has Bam Adebayo been such a non-factor in this series, whereas a couple of years ago in the bubble, like, he was maybe the Heat's best player in that Eastern Conference final? Is it how they're defending him, or is he just off? What have you seen?
Al Horford is not Daniel Tice.
Good answer.
I think that's answer number one. But no, he's been bad. And I think a part of it, too, is the Heat surrounding cast is not nearly as good in 2020 as it is. Well, I mean, excuse me, isn't as good as it is now as it was in 2020, because you had shooters everywhere in that series. So the Celtics defense got stretched entirely thin because you had Duncan Robinson, you had Harrell going nuts, you had Jimmy Butler obviously going nuts. Now it's Max Strus, it's Gabe Vincent, and it's Hero, who hasn't been great in this series. So I think that lets the Celtics kind of focus in on Bam more. He's not getting in those opportunities, and then he has just better defenders on him, and that's leading to him just being flat out ineffective in game 2 and kind of a bit of a question mark offensively in game 1 as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, obviously game 2, you know, it's Horford and Grant Williams. He doesn't have that advantage, you know. When Bam was playing a couple years ago, he'd get it kind of like at the elbow, be able to turn, face up, take his guy Tice off the dribble, or they could run offense through him. He could make a pass. Now he has a defender, whether it's Horford, Robert Williams, or Grant Williams, who's comfortable playing out in space, who doesn't have a problem guarding somebody out at the foul line. And that's a difference maker. I also feel like Miami hasn't done enough to get him involved, and he hasn't really been that aggressive offensively. He needs to be more aggressive offensively for Miami, because I think if he's aggressive offensively, that gets the passing going too. Miami can almost play backwards. You look at a lot of teams, the Celtics included, and it's sort of dribble, drive, kick. Well, with Bam Adebayo, it's get it in the paint. It could be post-up kick. You know, I have it here. Now I'm in the paint. I could jump hook it. Nope, I'm going to turn and kick it out to somebody who's open who can either shoot or drive. So, I mean, that's an adjustment I would make if I were Eric Spoelstra. I would try and run more of my offense through Bam Adebayo as a distributor.
And Jim, I have a question for you on this. How happy do you think, like, Horford, Grant Williams, et cetera, after 7 games of Giannis to go to Bam? Bam is still good, but they had the kitchen sink thrown at them.
Oh, that's a good point. I hadn't really thought about that. Yeah, that's like, he's just like not even a poor man's Giannis. Like, Bam Adebayo is a good player, but I think, I don't know, people tend to overrate him because of the way that he played in the Eastern Conference final 2 years ago. So, yeah, no, going from Giannis to him, this is probably way easier lifting for the both of them.
Right. They just, like, you take a deep breath and like, okay, wow, like, this is, I don't have to like worry about this guy like dunking over my head from 10 feet away from the hoop on every possession now.
And also getting all those calls and with the sneaky elbows that are going to be called, things like that. Yeah. Oh, maybe so. That's one of the reasons that they've played so well against him, and that Adebayo hasn't been a factor. Well, either way, Kyle Lowry sounds like he is going to be returning for the Miami Heat tonight. Your thoughts on that, the series thus far? A lot of thoughts on Marcus Smart, too, and what a factor he was in Game 2. In fact, Ryan and Quincy, you are first up here in the Sports Hub Celtics show this afternoon on Marcus Smart. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, so, yeah, I just wanted to comment one down just a little bit. I had 2 points. One was on Marcus Smart, and like, does nobody remember, I think, what it was, Game 5 or Game 4, when we didn't have Smart against the Bucks, and we crushed them, and Udoka was like, you know, he was joking, but he was like, oh, they're like, oh, why'd you guys win or whatever, and he said, oh, we don't need Marcus Smart, and like, it was the exact same game with and without Marcus Smart. We crushed the Bucks, and then, you know, we just beat the Heat. So, yeah, it's very important, but like you guys are saying, we can do this without him. And then my second point, maybe for Chris, is who would you have preferred in their prime, Marcus Smart, who probably is in his prime right now, or Kyle Lowry?
Kyle Lowry. I just think Lowry's a better player than Smart, although Smart's a better defensive player. But I think Kyle Lowry was able to be a number two on a championship team. I don't think that's Smart's ceiling. Look, Smart's great. He just needs, you just need to have two stars ahead of him. I've always said, like, the stuff he does is important. But if you put him on the Sacramento Kings, how many games are they winning?
No, they'll still be the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, that's my only point. That stuff only, you only get to see that stuff shine the way it does when you're on a team that's already like a playoff team based on who the primary players on the team are. You know, if you put it on Oklahoma City or Houston, it's not going to be what swings that team from being a lottery team to a playoff team. He's just not that type of player. And that's okay. Doesn't mean he's not valuable. Doesn't mean he's not a key part of a potential championship team. But it just means that you're sort of overrating the impact of what he can have on any team versus what's happening with your team.
Again, the news going into Game 3 tonight, Kyle Lowry set to return after missing the last four games for the Heat, and barring any setback during warmups, it appears that he will return to Miami's starting lineup. Your thoughts on this, the Celtics thus far in the series at 617-779-0985. Your call's next on the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
1 hour each week at noon on Saturdays. The Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
Three, got it.
With Gaspard Murray on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I had to come set the tone. We go as I go. I'm the heart and soul of this team. My teammates say that to me all the time. And, you know, I try to be that for them. You know, the energy that I bring is contagious, and I know that, and I just try to bring it every game.
Marcus Smart going to have to do something here at the free throw line. Elevates, jumper, no. Got it! And the Celtics drop 70 in the first half. Kick to the corner, Marcus Smart. He will drive it out of bio, draw some contact, throws up a circus shot, falling out of bounds, scored, and a foul. And when it's your night, sometimes it is just your night.
Marcus Smart got his man going towards the hole, beat him, and then he gets a bump, contact, foul.
Count it. Tatum, left-hand dribble, finds Smart left side, pretty good look at a three, got it. Whew. I mean, there's just nothing Miami can do if the Celtics are shooting at this level. Jimmy Butler against Marcus Smart. Right-hand dribble to the baseline, pump fake, moves it to the middle, caught by Adebayo. Great strip by Marcus Smart. Another brilliant defensive play and a steal. Taking 2 points off the board. Now Marcus Smart.
Oh!
Ball fake. Loses Strus and knocks down the jumper. Oh. A magnificent, perhaps game-defining sequence for Marcus Smart. And instead of 15, the Celtics push the lead back to 19. Tatum, over-the-shoulder pass. Marcus Smart lines up a left side three. Got it.
That dude is on fire, man.
Third of the night for Marcus Smart. He's got 18 points, 5 rebounds, 8 assists.
What I always do, being the energy guy that I am, being the point guard that I am,
You know, I take a lot of pressure off our guys so they don't have to try to force it as much. So they, you know, they could be who they are. And that always helps. And tonight, that was the main goal. That's what I've been doing my whole career. You know, that's what I got drafted here to do. And, you know, I just waited my turn. And I'm blessed to be in the situation I am, to have the opportunity to go out and show what I can do. And everybody in the organization in the world is seeing what I can do at that point guard position. Just be who I am, you know, come out and be that leader. You know, stay on top of my guys. You know, it was a little bit tougher in game one to do it because you weren't out there. And as a player, sometimes when you're on the court and the guys or who's not on the court trying to tell you, you just kind of really don't want to hear it. You're listening, but it's tough, you know, and it's a different type of energy and feel when, you know, when I'm out there on the court, able to bark out the commands and really get into my guys and get them motivated. Because now it's like, okay, you know, if he's going to go out there and do it, I don't want to be the guy to slack. And so I got to come with it. And that's the beauty of having me on the court to do that, to settle this down, to get us what we need to do and make plays for my teammates.
That's the beauty of having me on the court. I stay on top of my guys. I get into my guys. Sports Up Celtics Show, Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, Brian Robb, covering the Celtics for Mass Live. I often wonder, Chris, if I, like the 23-year-old Jim Murray, if I had the confidence of Marcus Smart at 23, where my life would have went.
Oh, my God.
You know, like, what would I have accomplished?
I'd be married to Haley Grice.
Like, what? That, and so, again, I said it yesterday. I said it earlier too, today, too. Like, I find it equal parts hysterical how much he loves himself, so Marcus Smart, and also really annoying. Yes, it was very important that he was back. He was a big factor in Game 2 and that win. But I just find it a bit much, and I hope that it doesn't become problematic and help further feed the overinflated ego of Marcus Smart, because sometimes this can be a double-edged sword. Yes, he was great in Game 2, but other times we've seen this where it's like he fancies himself like the star of the team, at least that's how he thinks of himself, and he's going to be bombs away, and it's like Marcus Curry. And that can be a bad thing, too. That's all. Like, I like him. He's a good player. I think a lot of you people overrate him. He obviously overrates himself. That's all.
No, he was great in that game, and he deserves all the kudos he got and all the kudos he gave himself. It's just sort of one of those things where, you know, again, you know, I'm getting into my guys. I'm out there to bark out the commands. It just, to me, I don't think it's his intention, but to me, it just sort of comes off as being a little condescending to the other players. And I'll say this, and I've wanted to say this on the show, it's what I wrote about. You know, I thought Jaylen Brown did not get enough credit for that victory. He steadied the ship in the first quarter. Do you know in the first quarter that, you know, Marcus Smart was 1 of 5?
Yeah.
And the only shot he made was off a feed that came from Brown to Horford to Smart. And I'm not saying Smart played poorly, but the shot making from Jaylen Brown, particularly when Jason Tatum picked up that second personal foul and they're still down, they're down at that point 18 to 15, and they outscore him 20-6 the rest of the quarter. Of those 20 points, Brown either scored or assisted on 12 of them. He had the hockey assist on Smart's three, so that's 15. So really 15 of the 20 he sort of created. And Jason Tatum said after the game, you know, he made all the right decisions. He was decisive. So yeah, give Marcus Smart his flowers. But I feel like Jaylen Brown's performance there with the 11 points in the first quarter, shooting 4 of 5, knocking down all his threes, really sort of setting the tone and steadying the ship after Jason Tatum was out, and after they went down 10, actually, they're down 18. They're down 18-8, and Brown cans a jumper to make it 18-10. That was the start of that incredible, like, what was it, 39-10 run over there. So again, I just feel like when Smart has a good game, it's like everything else disappears. Like nobody else did anything else. It was just this one guy all by himself. And it's like, that's not what happened. This actually, to me, was one of the best games their big two and one has played. And I think it sort of shows you what the formula is for them. When you get all these guys going, they are a formidable, formidable basketball team.
Anthony in the car on Marcus Smart. You're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics show. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Yeah, so a lot of what you guys are saying is really how I feel, and I'm terrified of Marcus Smart going off and thinking he's, you know, combo between KG, Pierce, and Ray Allen. Just, you know, it's me, and it's like I want to like this guy, but when you hear him, it's like the LeBron thing, you know? He has these profound games, and he does all these great things in any given game, but it's like once he opens his mouth, God, he's insufferable. And really the reason I'm super concerned is because when this team made the switch midway through the year, it feels like when you really dig into that, and look at it, it's like Marcus Smart seems to have been the key in that, he started really playing his role in buying into what he needs to do is kind of the setup guy and playing more of that 10 to 15 foot game and not behind the arc and, you know, just not being the superstar, really setting guys up instead. And now that he's starting to feel himself a little bit, I'm definitely concerned for tonight and moving forward that he's going to take the ball out of the other guy's hands that should have it. So I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not as concerned about that because he did you know, whip out, you know, 12 dimes. I mean, he from the jump, he was getting guys their looks, and he's done a really good job of that. And I think, you know, I'd be sort of saying, yeah, that's true. I don't know how B-Rob feels about this, but one of the key changes, I think, offensively for the Celtics, and Ime Udoka has said it took longer to get the offensive buy-in than the defensive buy-in, was playing a little more through Marcus Smart. And that's what he said in November. It didn't happen. I didn't like the way he said it after that Bulls game, calling out Tatum and Brown, and I don't think those guys liked it either. But I do think it can take some pressure off of those guys as initiators, decision makers, distributors, which I think they've both done a really good job of for the most part in this series. Obviously, Tatum was brutal in the third quarter of game one. When you play through a more traditional point guard and Smart, and he's good at that, and he deserves credit for that. But I would look at it and say he took the most shots of anybody in game two. And if that's the way it's going to be the rest of the series, then the Celtics aren't going to win the series. If he's taking 22 shots a game and he's taking more shots than Tatum and Brown, and it's because he played more minutes than them and because the Celtics were in control of the game that it happened in this game. But if it ends up working out that way in other games, they're in trouble.
Yeah, I think to your point, Chris, on running it through Smart, if Smart's able to break down the Heat defense and get into the paint, I'd much rather have him making that pass to Tatum or Brown rather than Smart being out there to catch it and shoot it. And so if he can do that in this series and like doing this throughout the second half of the season, I think that's been a big win for this Celtics offense. But by and large, I'm with you guys both. And offensively in that first half, it wasn't Smart. It was everyone else. Smart was setting the table nicely, but everyone else got going from 3-point range. And a lot of that was just exposing what the Heat were doing defensively. Those reserves were putting two on the ball in the pick and roll, and they were just making the right extra pass. And that shot is there time after time. So unless the Heat switch that up, I don't see how that's going to change in this series. And so that's up to Spoelstra, I guess.
Have you gathered any information over the last few months, B-Rob, as to why he changed? Was it just as simple as, look, he was actually on the trading block and maybe his ass was going to be shipped to Utah or Dallas or something like that? Or was it?
Or did he just get healthy?
Yeah. What is it?
I mean, I had a long conversation with him in March before, you know, during the Defensive Player of the Year campaign stuff. And he admitted to me that he didn't know in January. Like he didn't say straight up, like they thought they were going to trade me, but I dropped the extension. He was like, yeah, I got the extension, but I didn't know. Like, and so I do think there's no doubt that he heard the whispers. When you're a 500 team and had a huge disappointing year last year too, like Tatum and Brown weren't going to go anywhere. Like he was the next man up. So he came back from that injury in the middle of January, obviously showed enough momentum during those few weeks leading up to the trade deadline. I thought that was huge when they started kicking the crap out of teams. But I think there's no question that he heard the whispers, and that I think probably helped him just fall into line, really embrace this role more and more.
I'll say this too. I think when I look at the two biggest winners of the Celtics turnaround since, you know, January and where they are now, the two biggest winners to me in this order would be Marcus Smart and Brad Stevens. Cause I think those are two people that were getting a ton of criticism.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden they look great. They look like geniuses. And if this core group of Tatum, Brown, Smart is able to win the series and break through and get to an NBA finals, I think it probably really solidifies Smart's future here with the Celtics. I think if they lose this series, you sort of have to look at it and say, man, you know, these guys have gone to three Eastern Conference finals and they haven't broken through. And you feel like in at least two of them, they were the more talented team, because Danny Ainge said back in the bubble two years ago, he thought they were more talented than the Heat after they lost that series. And in the other one, they were up 3-2. So a lot on the line in this series for Marcus Smart.
617-779-0985, the phone number. You want to give us your thoughts on this series against the Miami Heat thus far? And again, maybe you haven't heard the news yet. Going into game three, Kyle Lowry set to return for the Heat after missing the last four games, barring any setback during warmups with that gimpy hamstring of his. It appears Lowry will return to the starting lineup. So you have thoughts on that and how that could affect the Celtics ahead of game three tonight? Give us a call, 617-779-0985. Back with more next on the Sports Up Celtics Show.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show on the home of the Seas, 98.5, the Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's time to talk Celtics.
Man, hotter than fish grease now.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper Murray on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They tried to embarrass us. They did embarrass us. So I think we got to realize that. Use it as fuel, whatever you want to say, but realize that the game can get out of hand whenever you're playing against a really good team like them that can score the ball and get stops. Overall, we just have to be better. We got a tough job to do to go over there and win. But if they did it, we can do it as well.
Jimmy Butler, also very confident. I don't know if he's on the level of confidence of Marcus Smart. No one is. Very few are, rather. But he sounded confident going into Game 3, and I'm sure he's feeling better, too, the Kyle Lowry. Will warm up with the intent to play in Game 3 for Miami tonight. I don't know if you heard some of this, like the at least from a national level, too. People glowing about Jimmy Butler and that performance he had in Game 1, Chris. It was his third 40-plus point game in this postseason. He's definitely raised his level, but of course around here, like, oh, people are making too much about Jimmy Butler. Where do you put him? He isn't a superstar, but I think he's like the best you could ask for as like a number two, right? Or am I not,
no,
being fair to Jimmy Butler?
I think that's fair, and I've had to sort of grapple with my own issues here, maybe not giving Jimmy Butler the credit he fully deserves. I'll be honest with you. I a lot of times forget that he took that team. I remember he beat the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals, but then I don't give him the credit for taking his team to the NBA Finals, if that makes sense. I know that's weird. It makes no sense. But I look at it, and oftentimes my gut reaction is, if Jimmy Butler's the best player on your team, you're going to be a contender, but you'll never win a title.
Yeah, you know, so it's not a comp in terms of the position, but I think in terms of the heart, the balls, what you get out of him in the biggest moments, he's like the Isaiah Thomas here of the Bridgie Celtics.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, I mean, he's better.
But with a player like that, you know what the ceiling is. So like you just said, like, yeah, it's great, fun to watch, balls, heart, all of that, guile. Yeah, you know, that all comes in spades with a guy like Jimmy Butler and with Isaiah Thomas. But are you winning a title? No, you're not going to.
Yeah, but man, he's taken them to one NBA Finals. He's I don't want to say on the verge, but he has an opportunity to take them to another. I do think he's underrated, and I have to say I'm guilty of underrating him. He's really good, and I think that if he had like a 1A there, and it was a debate as to who was the best player, and maybe you gave the slight edge to him, but he had somebody where it was a real debate, I think you actually could win with him. And that's where I've had to sort of check myself, because initially, I'm just like, look, if he's your best player, you're never going to win a title. But if they brought somebody in there who was really good, you know, like, for example, if they brought in like Bradley Beal, I could see that team winning. And yeah, Jimmy Butler would probably be the best player on that team, at least the best overall player, even though Beal's won, you know, scoring titles. So it's like one of those things. I think if he had more help, I think that it's been a little bit of a coming out party for him this postseason.
Let's go to Jay and Randolph on Marcus Smart. Go ahead, Jay. You're next here on the Sports Up Celtics Show.
Yeah. Hey, guys. How you doing? I'm really happy for Marcus Smart. I'm just really happy for him. I mean, I've been a Marcus guy since he got here. If you can picture Tommy Heisen saying, you know, I love Marcus, that'd be me from day one. And I'm really happy for him. And what I think is kind of stinks as a Boston Celtics fan is that he hasn't been the point guard since day one. Because I think if they, you know, just, you know, made him the point guard and, you know, from day one, instead of trying to bring in other point guards who really weren't real point guards. Like, Marcus is the epitome of a point guard. All he wants to do is dish it. All he wants to do, look, you can complaining about, you know, Marcus taking shots since he got here. And he's been shat on since he got here.
I got to let you go on that. Will you dump that B-rub? Yeah, thank you very much.
I mean, I also don't think what the guy said is true. I think he has a huge amount of fans here. I also would say this about Smart. I think Smart is the right fit right now for this team, and I think you could fairly second guess and say, should you have gone with Smart over, you know, maybe Kyrie Irving or somebody like that? But you have to remember, Smart fits now because Tatum and Brown are basically, you know, on the early side of their primes. It doesn't work earlier on in Marcus Smart's career when this team needed more scoring. Who are the other guys scoring outside of Isaiah Thomas?
Yeah, and the other thing too, like his shooting, Marcus Smart's shooting wasn't as good as it is now. Earlier, to build up to that, like, again, so many people, like, now it's Marcus, he's getting his revenge. Like, it's a lot of that too. Like,
maybe it's Martyr Smart instead of Marcus Smart.
I just, again, for the second time, I have to say, this PGA Championship today, this round three, I am loving this. This is it is a disaster for a lot of these guys out there today. John Rahm, again, putting it, slicing off the tee box. Love that earlier. Tiger Woods just missed like a 4-foot putt. The stars, they're just like us.
You're a sick individual. You literally root for failure. Like, you get off on other people failing and suffering and not doing well.
It's so you don't golf. Like, if to see these, I used to kind of say, like, it's not a real sport. Stupid thing for me to say. I was an ignoramus. I didn't take it seriously. Golf for me was just an excuse to go get drunk and high with my buddies. Now that I take it seriously, I understand, like, the nuances and how difficult it is. There may be no more tougher sport. Seriously. Just like you're off, like, by a centimeter, your whole game goes to crap. To see these guys, the best in the world at this, look like I do today. How do you not get some enjoyment out of that, Chris? I'm not a bad person for feeling this way. I know that there's other
stuff. But it's not just the golf, though. Jim, if it were just the golf, I'd say, yeah, a lot of people, you know, a lot of weekend duffers feel that way. Oh, it's kind of, you know, rewarding, and it's kind of validating to see these guys struggle. But you're that way in so many things. You're like, I want, you know, I'm happy the Maple Leafs fans lost.
Oh, yeah, that was so good.
you're like,
oh, well, no, I make no excuse for that. If you've listened with any regularity, or you're following me on Twitter or whatever stupid social media, like, you know that sports schadenfreude, that's my thing. I revel in the pain of others. Teams, fan bases, loser teams. Like, that kind of thing is funny to me. You're a bad person. I don't care if I feel that way. I know I'm not at my core.
And again, here's the other thing I'd say, though, Jim, just knowing you a little. Again, if it were just sports, I probably could live with it. But I think there are other avenues of life and other, you know, times you like to see people fail.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that's true, too. So say, like, it's an art, quote-unquote artist that goes out there and they do a performance and, like, their voice cracks and it's a complete disaster. Oh, yeah, no, I love that, too.
Yeah, you love that, too. you're
funny's funny, Chris. I can't help it.
You know, when I was on BST struggling with my voice, you put out this, somebody get my guy, Ricola, which was...
Oh, that was, Chris, you're doing, what game was that?
I don't even remember.
I think it was during the Brooklyn series.
It was you know what it was? It was the same day I had done Zolak and Bertrand.
Yes. Yeah, no, a lot of heavy lifting for you that day.
Yeah, so my voice just gave out.
And had to do a hit late at night, a lot of time in between to put, to
I'm not a professional like you.
Oh, F off, you're a professional.
I'm not a professional.
Channel 5. No. Oh, come on. You're not giving yourself enough credit. But no, even that, like, because that was a combination of things. It was you losing your voice, Felger losing his mind, wanting to cut you off. Funny's funny. That's all.
I know. But I'm just saying, you know, you really revel in the failure and shortcomings of others.
Yeah, because it's happened to me, and I expect to be laughed at, too. All right, with that, and it just reminded me, too. I think it started very young. I believe I was in fifth grade.
Okay.
I got up to give a, you know, they make you get up and give a book report.
Yeah.
And I had a sinus infection at the time, and it was just snot city coming down. And I just continued to read while the snot poured down all over my shirt.
What?
Yeah. And, you know, got mocked, ridiculed, laughed at the time by everyone else in class, and rightfully so. But, boy, that stuck with me. So, yeah. This is my payback 30-some-odd years later.
So what was your response? I hate all of you. None of you will get to play with the USS flag. Not one of you. Kiss it goodbye.
Not many did. That's right. That USS flag. Oh, well, I didn't get to have it. Well, that's on you. I don't know what to tell you. Your parents sucked. Mine didn't. I see a lot of you lined up. We'll get to the calls on the Celtics. Apologize for that digression of me enjoying the failure of many of the professional golfers, the best in the world, and how this is must-see TV today.
Yeah.
This PGA Championship round three has been, the weather's bad, guys chunking it left and right, missing 4-foot putts. Oh, this is why I watch.
The only time I've ever seen you this excited is when you're mocking some failed influencer. This is, you are like influencer level Schadenfreude right now.
Yes. Yeah, no, that I enjoy too. Okay, well, your calls on the Celtics, because it's the Celtics show, you see. We'll do that next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub Celtics show drives the lane.
Oh. Scoring and the foul.
The Sports Hub Celtics show and Boston's home for the Celtics. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I was proud of the way that, you know, we responded. Last game was tough. Just kind of how we lost, played in that third quarter. So I was excited for how we were going to just bounce back and respond, regardless of if we won or lost, just how we played. You know, we just played a lot better. And yeah, I mean, obviously missing D. White, you know, congrats to him and his family. But, you know, when we have Smart and Al back, we're just, you know, that much more bigger and better defensively.
Jason Tatum after the Game 2 win for the Boston Celtics to even up the Eastern Conference Final with Game 3 on tap tonight. Go to Tommy and Lynn with a thought on the Celtics. Hello, Tommy.
What's up, boys? This is what I got to say about the Celtics. They got to have a big game again tonight. And this team is a really good team. They can beat anyone. They have a lot of shooters, and they're deeper. They're deeper than this Miami team. And they also can beat Golden State, too. I can see them and Golden State going to the NBA Finals. We can beat Golden State. We match up very well with that team. I want to hear your guys' input.
It does.
I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Tommy. Does feel like they're on a collision course, those two. Would be a hell of a series, and I already felt the panic emanating from you, Chris, when Brian Robb, B-Robb, Mass Live, just asked you, do you have your finals hotels booked yet? Wait, what? Huh? Yep, that's right. You're going to be out with all the many homeless in San Francisco, Chris, if you don't hurry up and book that hotel.
Well, I'm hoping that in San Francisco they honor a little something Marriott calls the Platinum Override, which means if you're Platinum, someone who already booked the room suddenly doesn't have it.
Oh, get out of here.
Because they've overridden they've overridden the fact that they have no rooms to fit you in.
Oh, now that's juice. Oh, I want that. We've booked the room. Sorry, we don't have it for you anymore. Why? In comes Chris sauntering in his $3,000 outfit that he just bought. I'm super platinum. Go live outside, peasants.
No. Platinum's not even the highest anymore. Titanium. It's titanium. And then there's like one above titanium. Like Pete Thamel has it. It's basically like lifetime titanium, you know, or ambassador. I think it goes ambassador, titanium, platinum.
Oh, you got to get up to the ambassador level.
I was titanium and I lost it during the pandemic.
Well, get on that hotel because you don't want to be staying far away, because it was a big pain in the ass for you the last time you were out there, right? For the Super Bowl.
That was the Holiday Inn from Hell in the Tenderloin. Yeah, where there was human feces outside the on the sidewalk. That's not an exaggeration or a lie. Yeah, that was terrible.
Oh, no, I know. You know, that Pacific Northwest in general, the Northern California, it's a...
It's unfortunate, but yeah.
B-Rob, you booked? You got yours?
I'm booked.
You sound super confident.
Well, no. I'm not booked for Dallas. I haven't done that yet, but I don't think that's going to be a concern.
Let me know what hotel you booked in Marriott so I can pip you out of there.
Knock me out. What are the odds of a Felger and Maz finals foray out west?
I don't know. So, you know, given the power of Felger and Maz, I'd have to think that Mike would try to make that happen, would want to make that happen. I am for that. I haven't been to San Francisco in 20 years, basically, so Lord knows how much it changed then. Even then, very aggressive homeless. And I know since then, Chris, I know it's that area and parts of it deteriorated so much further that part of me would like to see it. Like, just see how much of hell in a handbag this country's going to. And that's one of the areas it is.
Well, I mean, Felger will be at the Drake or the Intercontinental or, you know, one of those places. You and Maz might be at the Holiday
Inn. I might be out on those streets. That's okay.
I've pooped anywhere before. It's true. Story for another time.
Yeah, I was just saying, I don't think I want to know that one today.
Yeah, let's just say it was a stairwell, an office building. Had to go. There's nothing I could do about it. Want to know more about that story? $15
a cameo. I knew you were going there.
We'll get that done. Okay, Mason in Florida with a thought on Kyle Lowry potentially returning for the Heat tonight. Hey, Mason.
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
Good, Mason.
I don't think Kyle Lowry is going to be a problem. I mean, we have the best defensive point guard probably in a long time. The only thing I worry about is I've watched every single game. I think Jason Tatum is trying to force it and do too much. Play your game. Let your team do it. I'm not a Jason Tatum hater. I love Jason Tatum, my favorite player. I just think towards the end of that last Heat game, he was trying too hard, and you're up by 20-something. Just pass the ball. Let the bums get some scores. You know what I mean? So, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mason. Yeah. The one complaint I've had about Tatum in this playoff run, Chris, is like his slow starts. And he does try. He does tend to force it sometimes, too.
I would agree with that. You know, I thought what was huge again the other night, I mean, he had the monster second quarter as the Celtics pulled away, and that was really big. But I thought it was bigger that the team was able to stabilize before he had that 17-point second quarter. And I feel like that's happened a couple of times. Like I go back to one of the early games in the Brooklyn series. I think it might have been game one where Jaylen Brown had it going in the fourth quarter before Tatum wins the game or sort of comes on late. It really has been a team effort, and there are times he can sort of force it too much, but also he's your best player. You know, I'm the biggest Jaylen Brown fan out there, and Tatum's their best player.
But has he been their best player during this postseason run? Because I think it's been Brown.
I would still probably lean Tatum, to be honest.
Okay.
I mean, here's the thing. I don't think it's people want to make it Batman and Robin. Jaylen Brown's nobody's sidekick. It's not Batman and Robin, and this is where I'm self-aware. I know that I'm a geek, so I'm going to comic book geek out on you. It's like Justice League when you have Batman and Superman. That's Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
You know, Robin is just like a little measly, you know, sidekick.
Yeah.
You know, he's expendable.
He's there to like get Batman out of the occasional jam.
Yeah, he's just like there. Yeah. You know, like
Robin doesn't put asses in seats is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly. Right. So it's like a team up. It's like Batman and Superman.
I like that.
You know?
Saki in the car. Saki, of course, got to give a plug here to my guy who helps run Petroni's Pizza, downtown Melrose, one of my go-tos. What's up, Saki?
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, so can we stop calling Marcus Smart a natural point guard? Like, you hear that call from one of your previous guys. I forget what his name was, but he is nothing but a combo guard with lackluster ball handling skills. Can we agree on that?
I mean, he's...
That's pretty harsh, but...
I mean, it's a little harsh. I mean, he did play point guard in college. I mean, he's maybe not the most traditional point guard, but he is a good passer, and he has been for a while. You know, I mean, certainly he's more of a playmaking point guard than a Kyrie Irving or an Isaiah Thomas or a Kemba Walker.
Hey, they had a chance to tie the game up against Milwaukee, and he just completely gets stripped. You know, I don't think that would have happened if Kyrie was holding on to the ball.
Oh, fair. Yeah, no, he was wretched at the end of the game that they blew this.
Yeah, you don't hear a lot about that game anymore, huh?
I know. Saki, thanks for the call, bud.
Yep, no problem.
And enjoy game three.
Yeah, wasn't as much discussion about the end of that game as there was about last night.
Short memories for a lot of people.
Two nights ago.
But yeah, no, that we have all magically forgotten about the end of that disastrous game five at all.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Well, to the point, not only the end of that game, Jim, people have forgotten that he played. They're literally like, well, the Celtics lost game one because they didn't have Marcus Smart.
Right. Oh, right,
and it's like,
right.
But what about game five when they blew that 14-point lead in the fourth quarter? Was he not only was he out there the last two possessions he turned the ball over?
All right, we'll do the update here. There's news ahead of game three for the Miami Heat. They might be getting the player back, tell you about that, and we'll get into the final hour of Gaspar Murray here on 98.5 Sports Hub. If you didn't get in here with your Celtics calls, we'll continue to take them. It's a full service operation here. We're talking C's ahead of game three. The cluster F, that is the who's the offensive coordinator for young Mac Jones of the Patriots. Is it Matt Judge? Matt, might as well be. It's an amalgamation of the two dopes. Matt Patricia, Joe Judge, your thoughts on that. We haven't touched on the Bruins and some of their exit interviews this week. Feels like more nepotism going on there, much like there is in Gillette. All that and more. Final hour, Gaspar Murray, here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk Sox and out-of-town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
And Murray.
Gasper!
And Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
And Murray.
Gasper!
And Murray.
Gasper!
And Murray.
Gasper!
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.